Welcome to Jaws of Justice Radio on 90.1 FM KKFI Kansas City Community Radio. It's Monday morning. My name is Jeff Humfeld. Today, host Beth Pike will be speaking with Arlen Byrett, director of the Arts in Prison Poetry Project at the Kansas State Penitentiary in Lansing, Kansas. They recently held a reading at the Johnson County Library, and we will be playing some of those recitations as well. Stay tuned for the calendar of events in the middle of the show and the 420 drug war news at the end of the show. Up next is Beth and her guest.
And good morning. You are listening to 90.1 FM KKFI. My name is Beth Pike, and today it is Poets from Prison here on the Jaws of Justice program. And the way this got started, Jeff already mentioned the reading at Johnson County Library, but the way that we got involved was that one of our KKFI volunteers, Jane Stover, was fortunate enough to attend, and she happened to record this event. So what we're going to be doing for you today is recording pieces that were there at the recording. And with me in the studio this morning is Arlen Byrett, who's the director of the Prison Poetry Program. Good morning, Arlen.
Thank you, Beth, and good morning to you, too.
We're so glad you're here. Tell us a little bit about the program and maybe how you got involved in it.
Well, Arts in Prison is a nonprofit located in Overland Park, Kansas. They've been involved with Lansing Prison for over 20 years. Its executive director is Lee Lynch, and she's been on board a little over 5 years and does a wonderful job. And I guess about 4 years ago, at one of our rehearsals with the Eastdale Singers, which is another part of Arts in Prison, Lee announced that the poetry person was, I don't know, leaving for Chicago, and did anybody know anybody who would help with the poetry program at Lansing? So I went home and talked with my wife about it, and so I thought I would try it, and I've been doing it ever since and being rewarded for it greatly.
I'm sure it's greatly rewarding.
Yeah.
We have a number of poems to be read today to make sure that we, of course, get everything in. Why don't we start with having you introduce the first person? Well, first off, how about your contact information? Where, if someone's interested in this program, where would they contact you at?
Well, they can go online to artsinprison.org. Uh-huh. The telephone number for Arts in Prison is 913-403-0229, and ask for Lee Lynch.
Okay.
Who's our executive director.
Okay, excellent. So what we've got coming up, we're going to do a few poems from some of the prisoners. Would you like to introduce our first reader?
Adam Rhodes is a former inmate. He is out now and doing very well. He started with the poetry group at Lansing, I would guess about 3 years ago. And is just a gifted young man and very passionate about poetry and about life, and is transitioning very well back to regular society.
And that's what the program is all about.
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Well, let's get into the reading from Adam Rhodes.
Thank you, Lee Lynch. Let me now introduce Mr. Adam Rhodes. Adam will read his poems and then read poems by Jeremy Shumway and Mr. Kenneth Butler. And
the War on Christmas. A war has been launched on this most holy of days. Religion proclaiming the Christmas message has been lost. Religion has sold its soul to fit the needs of man, feeding their flock with lies told for centuries. This holiday based on untruths, stolen from history and rewritten as propaganda for the masses. A winter wonderland filled with talking snowmen, a fat jolly man with elves and magic reindeer who fly. Parents manipulating their children with Santa, promising bright shiny packages if they simply behave. sacks filled with candy lure children out of their bed, like a stranger lures children into a windowless van. Holiday specials, movies, and all songs all wrapped with guilt, as commercialism and greed are marketed as love. When did this war start, and whose Christmas has been lost? The one before or after the man who was born to hang on a cross. The Journey. Carefree, an open homosexual sashays into prison. Undaunted by the catcalls, he leisurely strolls to his cell. He feels the hungry eyes of predators stalking their prey burn upon his back. Alone. He reaches out for companionship, a friend to share his time. Eager men line up to greet him. He naively lets them in. He thinks they'll be his friend. Then they approach him, hard dick in hand, thinking this is what he wants. Judgment. People mock him from afar, snicker behind his back. He's funny, they say. He's got sugar in his tank. They cast their fears upon him. He wears them defiantly, like Joseph's amazing technicolor dream coat. Family. Death knows no bounds. Prison is no exception. Mothers, fathers, grandparents, the Reaper always wins. He hears their voices screaming, howling in the night. You can't be a faggot. You know it isn't right. Acceptance. He works diligently to be accepted, acting out familiar stereotypes, daily reminded he's a sissy. His causes are not civil rights. He listens to viewpoints he cannot grasp and hopes of creating tolerance, of changing at least one mind. Rage. He breaks his silence. I am equal. My love is as good as yours. Faggot does not mean whore. Put your dick back in your pants. I am not unworthy. I will not be ignored. I'll saunter through this prison, lifting weights you cannot see. I'll be stronger than an ox by carrying my dignity. Awake, by Kenneth Butler, Jr. I'm tired, but can't sleep. Eyes open, conscious of what's spoken. I'm tired of the invasion of privacy. Open doors, I can't sleep. Too much built up inside of me. Tired of waiting impatiently for the day. I'm released, even though I'm already free. I'm tired of sitting, listening. The same old voices speaking about what they saw on TV when reality is always in the making. Ignamit, I am indeed. Listen to me as I live my creed. I'm tired of waiting, but there's no escaping this sitting, so I pay attention to all that life has in store while I work up to even the score. Dark Days by Jeremy Shumway. Dark days riding on a stone-cold heart. Will you make your peace? Will you fight or fall? These are dark days, heartache on a stone-cold heart. These are dark days with tears hidden so as not to seem weak. I've given you all of me. Dark days riding on a stone-cold heart.
And that was a very moving program by Adam Rhodes, who is part of the Poets from Prison program. Arlen Byard is here with us in the studio, and did you want to give any information maybe on Adam?
Well, he's a gifted young man, and like most of the poets in Lansing, he writes from the heart.
It was very poignant, and you could feel that.
Yes, ma'am, yeah.
So we do have the next poet coming up, And why don't you take a moment to introduce our next poet?
The next poet is Mr. Averin Chapman. He was incarcerated as a 19-year-old and has struggled with lots of the problems with being incarcerated, like all inmates do. He's coming through it in a championship kind of style, and he memorizes his poems. You won't be able to tell that here on the radio, but he doesn't read his poems, he memorizes
them. He's doing it for memorization.
Yeah. Yes.
All right, well, we'll go now into his poem. And again, it's prisoners, or poets rather, from prison in Lansing. So our next one is up for Mr. Chapman.
Next is Mr. Averin Chapman. He will also be poems by Mr. Mark Showalter.
His first poem is titled Whispering Wind by Mark Showalter. Why are you here? The soft wind breathes. Wouldn't you rather be doing as you please? The road full of rocks and scorn. I sent a light, bright and glistening. I've been here begging to help. If only you were listening. Now that I have your attention, trust only in me. I will never let you down. I'll provide everything you need. Get up. Let's get moving. No time to waste. You want this so bad. So bad you can taste. Nothing can stop you now. A strong wind at your back. As long as you're with me, this train will always be on track. This next poem was also written by Mark Showalter. It's titled Forged in Suffering. Raw were the emotions that set him in motion. Rough were the actions that gave him satisfaction. Sharp was the tongue when he came undone. A child trying to fight life as a man. Knowing there is no other way, it causes great pain, what I'm about to say. Throw him in the fire. 3 months should quench his desire. Clank, turn up the heat. 1 year should teach him how to speak. Clank, hotter and hotter still. Another year should break his will. Clank, give him all we got. 17 years should make them stop. Mm. Clank, pound it and pound it to attain perfection in hopes of becoming the prize in any collection. Bruised and battered, they done all they can. Forged in suffering, now he's a man. This next poem is titled Genesis, and it was written by me. In the beginning, I was a boy, just a child, not a man. Abiding in my pride, not even I could understand who I really am or what I really was. Scared to be myself, never felt like being judged, so I hid behind a mask. I kept the real me hidden, just floating through life. Not living, just existing. Lost in the thought that I was really on a mission. If crime was the goal, then I was ambitious. But crime was the trap, and now I'm here trapped. Pondering the past, wishing I could go back. Replacing my mask with the cold, hard facts. I was a boy in the beginning, just a child, not a man. Hiding behind pride, but now I understand. This next poem was also written by me, and it's titled Waiting on the Verdict. I'm trapped in this cubicle, one man cell, biting my nails to the cuticle. Pictures getting ugly, trying to think about the beautiful. But mom's is doing bad, all her boys are doing time, so she drinks to hold back all the tears in her eyes. I don't blame her. But even still, I wish that she was better, because I hate to see her give up when I need her. A strong black woman, but this life is trying to beat her, like my daddy used to do when he was off a couple liters. What she really needed was a strong black leader, but my daddy couldn't give what he had never had either. Life is starting to defeat her. She wonders about her purpose, and I wonder why I thought this lifestyle was ever worth it. Facing 25, I might as well close the curtains, but I still pray to God and ask for a little mercy. The guard's tapping on the door. I guess the break is over. I really don't want to go, so I just walk a little slower. I think the guard understands, because he walking slow too. Plus, he told me stay strong. It's okay to be nervous. But that's an understatement when you're waiting on the verdict. All rise. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that was poetry from Avrin Chapman. And Arlen, you had mentioned that Avlin he's out now.
Right.
Right. And there was a couple of other poems in there, correct, that he was reading for others?
Right. He was reading for Mark Showalter also for this first reading at the Johnson County Library. Only two poets that were presently inmates were able to come out. So we decided to let the ones that came out read some poems for the inmates who could not come out.
And that's so fantastic.
Yes, that's very rewarding for all the poets involved. It really is.
Well, the whole program seems rewarding, and I'm sure it's very therapeutic for them as well.
It really is. I know when I told them that, I guess it was last Thursday night, when I told them their poems are going to be on the air this morning, They said, oh, my God.
So they're listening. They're listening.
They're
now
listening. And the poets that are out are listening. And so it's remarkable event for them.
Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for submitting your work and allowing us to have your poems aired out over the program. Another one that we have lined up is from Carl Meisner.
Mr. Meisner was also in the group at Lansing and has had difficulties in his life, and you'll hear that in one of the poems he's going to read. He lost a young son, and that was, of course, very difficult for him, plus other difficulties he had in his life with his incarceration. So this will be special.
And a lot of them, I'm sure, are using this, as I mentioned, as a therapeutic in a way to handle either being incarcerated or maybe some other events in their life. So the poetry isn't always necessarily about incarceration, but other events and maybe things that they're very touched by.
Absolutely. That is very true, Beth.
Okay. Carl Meisner will play that for you now. And again, thank you for joining us, and I hope you're enjoying the program so far.
Next is Mr. Carl Meisner. Mm-hmm. Carl will also read poems by Mr. Sean Vincent.
Hey, Carl. I'm actually going to start with Sean's because I'm not sure if I can even make it through mine. The end of Gladler's Kleenex. I'm going to start with Sean's. This first one's called Grace Angel. She climbs when no one's looking, fakes a dream to fool my mind. Sweet talks Jesus from the enemy, just a prayer to fool the time. Although ancestors of loneliness don't know her by a name, she uses hollow emptiness, the void she seeks in vain. But she walks across the universe, she skips across the stars, sweet aching through the darkness, strumming galaxies of stars. Every note and every minor key, a song to break my heart. Good borrowed pain, a poet's dream, my thief of sorrow's heart. The next one's called Just This Morning. I walk the moon alone. No one's traversed the world where no one's there. condemned my heart to save a life, abandoned dreams turned black and white, and you slept. While minutes drained from hours, I lived off grace that wasn't mine. I fought for things I'd never seen to gather thoughts that had no means, yet you slept. A miracle destroyed the faith that everyone used for a face. Thus, while this small mind burned to ash, I moved the future out of the past. Still you slept. This is one of mine called The Guardian. Coiled and prepared to strike, a metal snake with razor spines, laying atop the chain-link fence, a constant reminder of what is lost. The silver beast quivers and hisses when the wind blows across its thin body. It rattles its warning, stay back, steer clear, pay heed or lose even more than freedom. This is called A Broken Born Gift. This is for Christopher. My firstborn child, broken born into a broken world, lived a life so very short, but so very bright. He learned to walk before he could crawl. His arm was weak, but his heart was so very strong, driven to overcome any obstacle in his path. Independent from the very beginning, learned to do things his own way, saying so often, let me do it, I'll figure it out. Head of his class, leader to his friends, he stood up for the weak and even confronted the bully. I may be a cripple, he said, but at least I'm not stupid. My broken born son, wise beyond his too few years, showed me how to be a whole man. Seizures starting at 2, they were gone by 8, only to return with a vengeance to steal him away before he turned 12. Not a day goes by that he's not in my thoughts. His body may be grounded, but his soul is in full flight. A broken born gift from above. It's called Mentor, Teacher, and Friend. And this one's for Arlen. Layers upon layers, watching someone, trying to comprehend. Time flows by, and I realize I really just don't know him. A public image, there for the masses. Private pain, submerged below the surface. A gentle soul, a kind heart, a caring spirit. That hated war could not defeat them. Encouraging words and thoughtful praise, helping me to see the layers within as I discovered more and more about him, I learned more and more about me. Years of pain revealed slowly, bit by bit, decades of wisdom imparted an hour at a time. He teaches that honesty in words means more than form or function. Who would have ever guessed that in this prison of despair, a mentor would be met, a teacher would be found, and a friend would be made.
And that was Carl Meisner here on 90.1 FM, KKFI. I'm Beth Pike, and the studio with me is Arlen Byart. Arlen is with the Prisoners Poetry Program. And let's talk about the impact of this really quick. Of what, you know, the impact this has on the prisoners.
Well, we don't quite understand, Beth, how it works, but we know these arts and prison programs really do impact recidivism. In Kansas, like in most states, within 3 years, 40% of the inmates are back behind bars. But if one participates in these arts and prison programs, whether it be theater, whether it be yoga, the East Hill Singers, or poetry, the recidivism rate drops in half.
And so this, you know, is really important to their rehabilitation.
It really is.
Not to mention their own personal, you know, feelings inside by getting these emotions out.
Right.
It's, you know, therapeutic writing. People should journal if they have that. And being able to write poetry, get your feelings out, is something I'm sure that's very, very important to these prisoners.
It really is. I think for their self-confidence, their self-concept.
Right.
It just works, and we don't know why, but it works.
Oh, absolutely, it works. Let's give your website and telephone number out again, just to, you know, for people who are interested in the program.
Yes, Beth. It's artsinprison.org, and again, the telephone number is 913-403-0229.
Okay, we are going to stop for just a moment, a quick break, to give our JOJ calendar, and then we have still some more readings.
You bet.
Yes, from some great poetry coming up from some of the other poets from prison in Lansing. So we'll stop now for a quick break, but stay with us here on 90.1 FM.
Now, the calendar for April 4th, 2016. The Criminal Justice Task Force will meet Monday, April 4th, from 6:45 to 8:45 p.m. at the Church of the Good Shepherd, 4947 Choteau Drive, KCMO. The Criminal Justice Task Force's mission is to lobby the Missouri State Legislature for sentencing laws that are fair and humane. For information, contact Robin Johnson at 816-522-4081 or email redrob, that's R-E-D-R-O-B, 2655 at yahoo.com. The Kansas City Chapter of Missourians for Alternatives to the Death Penalty will meet Tuesday, April 5th, from 6:30 to 8 p.m. at All Souls Unitarian Universalist Church, 4501 Walnut, KCMO. Mothers of Incarcerated Sons and Daughters will have their monthly meeting Saturday, April 9th, from noon to 2 p.m. at the Waldo Branch Library, 201 East 75th Street, KCMO. If you have a loved one that is incarcerated and need advice and support, MISD has members that may be able to help. My name is Jeff Humfeld, reminding you that these events and more can be found on the Jaws of Justice Radio Facebook page, as well as the Jaws of Justice Radio page on the KKFI website. KKFI.org. You are listening to 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. Next week, Latara Smith and Melvin Merritt return with two stories of survivors of domestic abuse. Now, back to Beth and her guest.
And welcome back. It's Beth Pike, and I'm in the studio this morning with Arlen Byart, who is with the Poets from Prison in Lansing program. And we've been playing some poetry that we have from different people who have written poetry through this program. And Arlen has been very kind enough to talk about the different people who are writing the program and about how this is helping them, you know, in a therapeutic way. Do you want to reiterate any more of that?
Well, yes, Beth. I think when people can receive the praise for their poetry, which is heartfelt, with standing ovations,
right,
and applause, they say, oh my God, I really am a poet. I really am a person.
I did a great job.
I did a great job.
They're moved by my writings.
Tears are flowing.
Mm. And I could see
it's how. It's highly impactful for the inmates. It really is.
We've got three more poems that we would like to air this morning. Why don't you introduce our next poet?
Next poet is Mr. Johnny Duncan. He was the most recently released poet. He was just released in June.
In June.
And he now lives in Wichita. And he was able to come up for the reading, got permission from his parole officer. And Johnny Duncan and I share something in common. We are both veterans. And he has written a poem about war. And
thank
the
you
ravages
both.
Of
thank
war.
You both for your service.
Yeah.
Let's get into the poem from Johnny Duncan, and this is about, as you mentioned, war.
That means
Johnny Duncan. Johnny will also read poems by Mr. Gino Wilson. Johnny.
Insecurity. Sterile silence in the air. The sound of despair. A concrete jungle, the cold steel feel. A radio squelch, handcuff and keys. Hardcore stares outweigh thank you or please. Wounded boys and grown men's bodies. Anger or tears, which one will burst first? Exaggerated mask to keep people back. Safety is the goal, but pride is the game. Worst of the worst who claim to be the best. But here flaws are revealed and put to the test. As cracks are exposed to see who will break, others impose routines to eliminate mistakes. Razor wire and cameras, is that security? Some scared, some relieved, some denied. Daylight, green trees or grass. Time begins to pass. To escape in your mind is the only getaway. The same. Enemy contact. All guns and hell break loose. The ground shakes, nerves shatter. Smoke rises and blood spatters. Intense fear, interior terror. Death smirks with every error. Tactics, targets, suppression technique. Sights, sounds, smells unique. Orange versus blue, flying tracers. Sizzling hot lead, life erasers. Double tap, eternal nap. All movement, hope, and breath collapse. Intrusive thoughts, my present pain. Nightmares keep my soul stained. Memories seared and replayed, continuing the war inside. Welcome home, hero soldier. Now another battle begins. Never Say Goodbye by Gino Wilson. We met one day, recently, while our hands and minds were at work. God gave me healing words to deliver you. These words brought life to your body. They were food to your soul. I smiled because that dim light inside started to grow. I was just the messenger delivering the message. So that shining light in your eyes, I forsook to know. Every day feels like heaven when you're around. Yet I'm consciously in a burning hell. You belong to the Almighty. He hides you under his massive wings. I belong to Mother Nature. Young and untamed, I am unashamed. Just the other day, you came to me with hardened hands. We embraced briefly as you began to cry. I gave you comforting words and sent you on your way. Yet I secretly wished you'd never say goodbye. Galaxy, the sun, the moon, the stars, the universe. These all exist together as one. They balance each other out. Our love is not unlike the universe. It never stops growing and expanding, reaching new heights and creating life. Our light shines the brightest at the darkest hour, just like the stars in the cold desert sky. Twinkling far above mountains and valleys, I'm your moon in the midnight sky. I'm calm, cool, and collected, never overshadowing your hopes or dreams, but always complimenting you. I'm a reflection of you. Your pure, bold, and honest glory is the reason I glow. You're my sun. Every hidden thing comes to light when you're around. You heal the brokenhearted and warm those who have cold hands. Your light produces life. People are naturally drawn to you. You have a way of making them smile. Every day is better when you come around.
That was poetry read by Johnny Duncan, and I felt that to be very poignant and very moving poetry, Arlen.
He writes from the heart, he really does. And I think any veteran who's been in a war situation like Mr. Duncan has, they have a story to tell, and it's not always easy to tell.
Oh, no. No, it can be quite difficult. Most veterans do not discuss their stories and so forth about the wars. They don't want to relive it.
That's true.
Again, now we have coming up some poetry from Marty Robinson.
Mr. Robinson is a very gifted poet. He's very intelligent, intellectual, well-educated, and he's also a very good artist with the pencil, and did a beautiful drawing of my granddaughter.
Oh.
Which we have up in the home, of course.
Oh, yes.
And so I'll cherish that forever. So Mr. Robinson is just gifted all the way around.
And I love artwork done just by pencil. So I'd like to see some of it. Maybe I can get you to share me some of that soon.
Yes, absolutely.
But now we're going to share the poetry that Mr. Robinson, Marty Robinson, has for us. And then we'll be back with more poetry and more of the program.
Next is Mr. Marty Robinson. Marty will read his poems, and then also poems by Mr. William Johnson. Marty.
Your pictures. I put them away today. Happy little stills. Rectangles whose sharply cut edges drop into empty space. I'll take care of you, rolled again. Touching the tall grass brought down. Framing a home in heaven's eyes, warm but now broken. What a sad face, framed by small, pretty hands. I love you, I forgive you. And don't you see the fading pictures of mercy and love? I put them all away today. Mm. Your kindness. There's a joy humming low. A kind of hopeful thing, save for the hereafter, a forgiveness unearned, for which I am deeply grateful. There's a hole in my heart where you once stood, light filling empty spaces with smiles and sweetness that chased away my strife. There's a light on a hill, a place in my mind, where a thought still lives, remembering your kindness, unwarranted grace, saving my life. Paradox. Jesus said, forgive, or Dad can't forgive you. But who's the bad guy? I put you in this awful place where Jesus' dad should hide his face. How do you say the choice I made is yours today? A Chapbook Life by William Johnson. We are all authors, you, me, and everyone alike. We compose our life story, page by laborious page. Today's chapter might become tomorrow's Google fodder, instant publications that invite unwelcome reviews and criticism. Renewed hope presents itself with each blank page. A canvas begging for honesty in a cruel, dishonest world. But fear of public opinion can cause an insecure poet to embroider his story with counterfeit mobility. Reams of prattle, reeking of bullshit, Teflon-coated pans repel honesty and truth. I'd rather my life story be paperbacked and dog-eared than leather-bound tomb of fraudulent tunes. A small, honest chapbook life that might inspire family, friends, and strangers an honest story worth reciting. Take heart. When troubles overwhelm us and we see no end in sight, take heart. Trust in God's promise, the promise repeated many times in the Bible's five simple words, "And it came to pass." God assures us nothing ever comes to stay. Take heart. The substitute. Out upon a rolling hill where the lonesome dove often cries in the early morn, the rain-laden sky drenched, my sister and me, as we hid in a field of corn. It wasn't sister's fault. At once she saw father beating the hell out of mom. It may be a sin what happened then, but what else should she have done? Angry and afraid, she pointed dad's gun. We watched him fall and bleed. His life ebbing and flowing in a stream, we watched him expire, but we said not a word. Sheriff Malone took my confession by phone and met us in the woods where he was lying. He never asked me why, as he knew what father was like. He promised mom he'd do all that he could. I don't regret the decision, volunteering for prison. That's what family's all about. Sis is a strong soul, and at least I know she will protect mom until I get out. Thank you.
And that was poetry read by Marty Robinson. It was his poetry and also some poetry from other gentlemen there.
From Mr. William Johnson, who's an older inmate, very gifted and heartfelt poetry, particularly that the last one that
it was touching.
Mr. Robinson read, yes.
This is a Poets from Prison program here on Jaws of Justice. And these, you know, were originally read at Johnson County Library. And today what we're doing is we're playing pieces from some of that recording, not all. We wish we could air all of the poets and everyone give everyone a chance. But we do have one more of the recorded. And so, Arlen, tell me about Mr. Hayes.
Our last poet this morning is Mr. Wise Hayes, a very intelligent and gifted poet. Matter of fact, to determine who would come out for the reading at the Johnson County Library, we had a professional judge evaluate all of the poems in the anthology that we have published. And Mr. Hayes was rated by the judge as the top poet in the Lansing program.
Really?
So he is up on top in the eyes of the judge and in my eyes, too. Mr. Hayes was incarcerated at age 16 for 20 years. You can imagine he missed all of that development period that psychologists and others say is so important from age 16 to 24.
Our growth, yes.
Yeah.
There's a lot of growth
there. He's been
in
now 19 years, gets out next April, and I'm fortunately going to be his mentor when he gets out. And he's a dear friend of mine and a wonderful person and a wonderful poet.
Well, how fortuitous for you. And so let's get into his work. This is poetry from Wise Hayes, read by Wise Hayes.
Next is Mr. Wise Hayes, and he truly is wise. We will also read poems by Mr. Alexis Cortez.
His first poem is called Entanglement of Thoughts, and it's by Mr. Lex Cortez. Substance of strength, crushed particles of chaos, entrapment of fear that ensures broken dreams. An opera of violence spoken to us all. Life is a storm of tragedy exposing our humanism as individuals we fall. Society judges us, with a granite gavel, when thoughts become unraveled, vexed and perplexed. Our souls become paper thin, a symphony of sympathy composed by our greatest lies. What happened to our love? What happened to our lives? The potency of potential that once was influential, concealed, contrived, lost yet revived. The direction of imperfection is under constant inspection, like an intersection of deception that becomes a lesson well learned. It happens to us when all that remains is but an urn. This next poem was written by me, and it's called Human, I Free. Freedom is the right to grow. Freedom is the right to live. At least that's what I heard. I don't really know what freedom is. I dream of drinking water, which will make me never thirst again, and standing next to the Holy One, who will look at me and call me friend. But what I have is the pen, the one for writing, and the one with walls, where cages slam shut, and there's crying over phone calls. The cell bars, like rib cages, keep hearts locked up tight inside, away from nurturing and hope. This is where melancholy, anger, lust, fear, and resentment reside. Funerals you can't attend when family members pass away, never free to get closure or see their final resting place. We all want the right to blossom, the right to love and to be. These are words that come to mind when I imagine being free. No one is to blame other than me who decided to forget that I was born free and denied the fact that it was true. My place, my choice is what placed me here. My thoughts are what confines us. If you recall that we are humans too, could you please come remind us? Human, I free. Now this last poem, it was inspired by the Song of Solomon and a wonderful friend of mine. It's called Joy Entered. Joy entered, and behold, it is beautiful. Behold this, my joy is beautiful. The most surprising joy entered, and never, never intends to exit. In prison, I smile myself to sleep, and always wake up good and rested. Happiness cannot define it, and bliss is also understated. Elation could be close to the truth if only it was elevated. Her nature is so filled with goodness, always shining from within. Her giving heart, though often seen, surprises me and other men. Her joyousness is like champagne, bubbling over into me, making me feel light, intoxicated by her beauty. Her hair reminds me of a summer night when all the stars above are seen. Her eyes are as mysterious, and like the night sky, they inspire dreams. Within my heart, around my lungs, I vibrate when I feel her near. Her laughter is to me the sweetest music I could ever hear. Her attitude, God, her attitude is always so much fun. Her sense of humor lights up a room like a ray beam coming from the sun. Her personality is unlike any that I've met for sure. Yes, everyone has gifts, but hers is different. She loves from the core. The most surprising joy entered and never, never intends to exit. In prison, I smile myself to sleep and always wake up good and rested.
And that was Wise Hayes reading poetry. And as we were talking there, you mentioned that there's an upcoming event where Wise will be?
Yes, Beth. On Friday night, April 15th, Mr. Hayes and three other inmate poets will be reading at the Interurban Art House located in Overland Park. The reading will start at 6:30. And the public, of course, is invited, and hopefully some of the family members of the inmate poets will be there as well.
I'm sure they will. Now, the poetry that we've heard here today, now, this was published in a book, correct?
Yes, indeed. The name of the anthology is Open to the Sky, and we did two volumes of it, with the idea being that the razor wire keeps the inmates in. But he doesn't keep their poems in.
Right. Their poems and their feelings.
Yeah.
If somebody was interested in picking up a copy of the book, how would they go about finding that?
Well, the book will be on sale at the Interurban Art House on the 15th. And you can also go to the website, call
and that website,
the 913 number.
Okay, what's the website again?
Yeah, artsinprison.org. And the telephone number, if you want to contact them about purchasing a book, is 913-403-0029.
And there was one poem there that you wanted to try to get into the show. Why don't you if you can, go ahead and read that poem for us.
Well, one of the poets at Lansing who was not able to come out for the Johnson County Library reading, his name is Jacob Waldrop, and he's a powerful poet, and he has a short poem. It's in the form of a cinquain. It's entitled Lessons. Lessons, big leather strap, crying, begging, pleading. Hope the pain goes away quickly, Daddy.
Oh, that is touching. That is very touching, Arlen. Well, we are getting very close to being out of time this morning, but I want to thank you so much, Arlen, for coming in here to the station, talking about the Prison Poetry Program, and providing us with these poems from the gentleman who wrote them and was inspired to write. So thank you. I mean, I really can't thank you enough for being here this morning.
Well, we're truly honored. I'm honored to be here. The poets are honored. It's just a wonderful event for us. So we thank you.
We enjoyed the program. Thank you again to all the poets who submitted and did their readings. And we're going to be getting now to, of course, the 420 Drug War News. But thank you again for joining us this morning here on Jaws of Justice Radio. And we look forward to speaking with you again next week.
It's the 420 Drug War News. The following was recorded at the James A. Baker III Institute for Public Policy. In the past two reports, I've asked the following question of District Attorney of Houston, Devin Anderson, as well as 30-year DEA agent Gary Hale. I asked it again of Howard Wooldridge, one of the founding members of law enforcement against prohibition.
In the 1920s and 1930s, the U.S. endured another prohibition against alcohol, which led to massive violence, overdose deaths, gangs, widespread corruption. And the people of the time saw that this prohibition was not accomplishing any of its stated goals and brought it to an end. Now, with drug prohibition, we are seeing near identical problems of corruption, gang-related violence, and overdose deaths. And I want to ask what it is about this modern prohibition that allows it to continue.
Power in terms of money. My greatest opponents on Capitol Hill in changing drug laws, of course, my profession, y'all give us $82 billion, B-boy billion dollars a year, that's local, state, federal, to go after green plants and white powders. We love the money. The drug companies certainly do not want to face God's medicine on the marketplace. Already with only 23 states or so, the green medicine has taken away half of 1% of the market share. Last year, you and I bought $400 billion in pills. That's over-the-counter and prescription. Medical marijuana will take upwards of 1% at least of that market. For $4 billion, you bet to put $100,000 in the freezer of your congressmen and your senators. It's all about money. I'm sorry, trigger alert. And the other part of this is ego. I talk to these congressmen all the time and their aides. And look, folks, take any position you've had for the last 30 years. And can you imagine going, you wake up the next day and going, you listen to a panel and go, you mean for 30 years I've been wrong? The ego will not handle being so right for 30 years. And suddenly, oops. And politicians, I can tell you with authority, will throw their mother under the bus multiple times before they admit to making a mistake. If a billion didn't solve the problem, the obvious solution is $2 billion. So power, money, and ego are the coin of the realm in Washington, D.C. So at least at that particular level, that sandbox I play in, those are the reasons things are changing at a glacial pace.
That's a powerful answer there from Howard Wooldridge, one of the founding members of Law Enforcement Against Prohibition, a man who patrols the halls of Congress on a daily basis. This is Dean Becker, DrugTruth.net.
We hope you enjoyed today's show and that we leave you with something to think about, something to talk to your neighbors about, and a reason to get involved. As always, the opinions expressed are those of the host and guest of Jaws of Justice Radio, not of KKFI, the Midcoast Radio Project Incorporated, its staff, or volunteers. You can find our calendar of events and a link to our show episodes and podcasts on the Jaws of Justice Radio Facebook page. If you have a show idea or want to help produce Jaws of Justice Radio, email us at jawsofjusticeradio@yahoo.com. And you can always listen to us live and find podcasts of our show on the KKFI website, that is kkfi.org. We thank our engineer, Beth Pike, for her work today. My name is Melvin Merritt, asking you to tune in for the rest of our 9 a.m. weekday lineup with Law and Disorder on Tuesday, Alternative Radio on Wednesday, Tell Somebody with Tom Claymer on Thursday, and Between the Lines at 9 a.m., followed by Bioneers at 9:30 a.m. on Fridays. Up next is Beautician Blues with Luscious Lynn, and at noon, Arts Magazine with Michael Ho. Stick around for jazz and blues in the afternoon and Eco Radio KC at 6 p.m. Then round out your day with the spicy Latin sounds of Sabor Latino and Fiesta Musicale.